I want to talk about levels of sin, levels of righteousness, degrees, if you wish, of sin and righteousness, and the way that God judges those degrees. First of all, I accept fully the takeaway lesson from Genesis 3, the sin of Adam and Eve, that somebody sins and that's it. Sin brings death, even if you, between the commas, only eat the forbidden fruit. Well, that's it. You cross the line and death. And that is how it is. But that is not to say that there are not degrees of sin. The two ideas are not in conflict. Because, for example, I do think that if you forget to or overlook to put the seat belts on your kids when you're driving off in your car, because, well, you can be bothered, or because you were stressed, or because whatever, and you have an accident and the children get killed, yeah, you did wrong, and you must accept your part in that. But that is far different to the person who takes a knife or a gun and goes out and rapes and murders a couple of kids in the park. There is a degree issue there. There's no question. And God's own law recognizes that, because under the law of Moses, there were different kinds of sacrifice for different kinds of sin. There were different penalties, if you like, for different kinds of sin. And positively as well, one star will differ from another in glory. And some people will be given 5 cities, 2 cities, or whatever. There will be a gradation of reward. Not, of course, that salvation is by works. It is by grace alone. We are counted righteous. We are saved now. We can rejoice in hope of the glory of God at this moment. Should we die or Jesus come back at this minute, we can confidently say that I, by God's grace, will be in God's kingdom. I will be saved. We have now the eternal life, as Jesus teaches in John's Gospel. That's on one hand, and yet on the other hand, sin is serious and is felt by God. And there's a number of indications in the Bible that he does see sin in terms of gradation. For example, 2 Kings 3 verse 2, we read about one of the kings that he did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, but not like his father or his mother, for he put away the pillar of Baal that his father had made. So, even amongst those who ultimately fail, God recognizes degrees of sin and he takes note of the good things that they do. So there is some final unknowable equilibrium, some final complex equation that God alone knows, and we cannot judge because we don't know that and we cannot judge. We don't see all the factors. We don't know how to balance them all together. I mentioned that not to put the wind up you, but to help you to see the wonder of God's grace, to see it profiled more, just to see it magnified the more when you realize that this is not a God who's just automatically shrugging and saying, oh yeah, well, they're in Christ, yep, yeah, okay, they're good. Yeah, okay, yeah, they mess up, but yeah, that's fine. No, he takes account of all things. And I think the parables of judgment indicate that, that he will say to people, look, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Or he says to others, well done, when I was hungry, you fed me. It's as if he does, in some sense, go through their lives, whether that will be articulated in a literal sort of flashback of our whole lives at the day of judgment, I don't know. Or it could be that the message simply is that in God's judgment, all is factored in. And that is why there are degrees of punishment. We take Isaiah 65, which is complaining about Israel's or Judah's self-righteousness and the way they thought they were so pure and were condemning others when they themselves were idolaters. God says, Isaiah 65, it's written before me. That is, I've taken note of your attitudes and your decisions when it comes to your attitudes to other believers. I will not keep silence, but I will recompense. Yes, I will recompense. And this is a basic teaching of the prophets, that your life now will have its upshot in the way you are judged at the last day. It will not simply be, okay, go to the left-hand side, weep and gnash your teeth, and okay, so then you shall return to dust. Ultimately, the second death is a return to dust. I do accept that. But he weighs human motives, the inflections of meaning that are attached to actions, and there will be a different and an appropriate judgment. You come to Revelation 19, and you read about the various kinds of judgments of the beast worshippers. There are some that are thrown into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Some are cast alive into it. In Revelation 14, some are tormented, whereas in Revelation 20, some are simply killed, it seems, outright by Christ's word of command. So then, notice that when you read through those final judgments upon the peoples in Revelation, and you see it, as I say, also in the prophets. Now, when you come to Amos chapter 1, he uses this phrase, "For three transgressions, yes, for four, I will not turn away its punishment." As if he's saying, well, I would have turned away the punishment if they had not progressed in their sin to such a point. For three, yes, for four could mean that, you know, I don't cut off my sensitivity after sin number three. I still count them all up. And that is what God does. And when you look at the judgments in Amos, a lot of them are on Gentiles, for the attitudes of Gentiles to other Gentiles. And because of that, he says that he is very sensitive to, for example, how they have treated this one or that one or the other one. He says that Gaza were too cruel. Now, what are we to make of this? I think it shows that if God is sensitive to our behaviour, this indicates how we should be sensitive to other people. And also how we should take life seriously. When you look, for example, at how Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, died, he died because he was persecuted for having stated certain things against the ruling classes. And when he dies, he says, "May Yahweh witness it and require it." That's 2 Chronicles 24. Now, that contrasts with the words, the last words of Jesus and of Stephen, who when they die, they say, "May God forgive." But he died saying, "May Yahweh witness this and require it." Now, he's still going to be saved, but he got to a different level, as it were. Now, God looks at human behavior, and as I say, he sees how it all works out. And he judges it. Now, yet he judges with grace, absolutely, with grace. We're told in Ezra 9 that the exiles were not punished according as their deeds deserved, but were punished less. And yet in Jeremiah 16, we're told that some will be recompensed double for what they did. Even though, as I say, the prophets do say people will be judged according to what they did, but some will be recompensed double. Now, what are we to make of all that? All we can say is that God is highly sensitive to human behavior. God really does feel our, not even day by day, but our moment by moment living. He is sensitive to this. Now, as I said at the start, we are saved by grace and not by works. But I think that the nature of our eternity will be a reflection of how we have lived. This life is very brief. I'm surprised that God in his wisdom made human life so short, because it's preparing us for eternity. And I would have really thought that it would have been much longer. But anyway, God in his mercy has kept it very short. Some people have a very short period of time. during which God works with them. Maybe baptized at 80 and die from a heart attack at 82. Other people baptize young and die young. That's all as he sees best. But it shows that our experience of life now is very intense. And he is sensitive, very sensitive, to how we live. And we can respond to his grace on different levels. And we are to respond to the maximum, not as a minimalist. Because how we shall eternally be is a reflection of our responses now.